Postgame Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. The Pats defeat the Vikings. Now the most comprehensive review of it begins. This is the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve Diassi, and Fred Smirlis. Broadcasting from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. This is the Real Postgame Show. Here's Glenn Ordway, Steve Diassi, and Fred Smirlis on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back down here at Gillette, right across the street in the best yet beautiful broadcast facility.
Lovely.
It's gorgeous.
Nice
never,
hardwood
they
floors.
They never put insulation on the ceiling, did they? They never.
The air conditioning, yeah, the subhouse.
The air conditioning's working great right now. Yep. All right, let me give you a number that I think gives you another indication that maybe the Patriots have been a little bit better than what some people are saying out there. You know, you get the Shaughnessy's of the world who like to talk about the tomato cans, and they have the easiest schedule.
We're doing that for 13
yeah,
years.
Yeah, what Dan fails to see is when you win the division every year, that means you're getting a first-place schedule the next year. And they have done it year after year after year, which means you're playing the best. And this gives you a good indication that not only are they playing the best teams, but they're beating the best teams. And that would be strength of victory. Forget about strength of schedule.
Right.
You got
more
the
important
schedule, but, it, right, right. But if you're not winning those games against those good teams, it's
right,
useless. The Patriots' strength of victory is 528. All right? There is no other team.
Is that about average, right?
No, that is number one in a landslide. Nobody's even close to that.
Interesting.
Okay, so here it is. Kansas City Chiefs. I just told you, the Patriots' strength of victory is 528 percentage. Kansas City Chiefs, 407. Houston Texans, 463. Pittsburgh Steelers, 423. If they win tonight, that will go up a little bit. How about the Chargers? 318?
Wow.
We said that earlier. They've had a soft schedule.
318? The Baltimore Ravens, 416. The Miami Dolphins, 361. The Indianapolis Colts, 394? Who are you beating?
Right.
Okay, now let's go to the NFC and see if they match up with any of them.
What about the Bills?
Bills, strength of victory, 406. Not bad. It's not bad for the Bills. So I go over to the other conference. The highest I see on the board in the other conference would be the New Orleans Saints at 483. The Rams, 458. The Bears, 380. The Cowboys, 451. Seahawks, 339. Redskins, 410. The Vikings, 303. All right, Carolina, 465, and they've fallen apart, lost four in a row. The Eagles, 367. They're playing a first-place team. The Eagles are. They went to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl last year. New England, head and shoulders, higher figure, a higher winning percentage against the good teams, 528.
Wow.
They've lost against stiffs this year, guys.
Right. That's
They've
true.
Lost against teams that have ex-coaches or ex-players who have moved over as coaches.
Tennessee.
Or the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that was seeking revenge from what happened last year.
It turned out to be fraudulent.
And had a good idea of what the Patriots did.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's not a factor. But again.
So forget about the tomato can division. 528, they have the best winning percentage,
strength of victory.
Strength of victory.
Right.
Of any team in the league by far, not even close.
Well, automatically, you beat Kansas City. That's okay. That bumps it up there. You beat
The Bears.
They're up there. Minnesota was reasonable.
Right.
I mean, who else?
The Texans.
Texans now are reasonable. That's true.
What you're doing. You're basing it on where they are now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. But again, we all know that Dan's simply trolling in that situation.
Guy.
He says that. That's his annual tomato can tweet or column or whatever.
Well, he's right about that. That the division is not good.
Division.
Okay.
The division's not good because the Patriots have put them all in a position where they're scrambling for anything they can do to try to keep up. The Jets, the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins. You look at what they've done in terms of trying to acquire people and coaches and general managers and whatever. They've been scrambling like crazy.
Steve, it's 19 years and none of those three teams can find a quarterback.
They've been forced. They've been forced into it because the Patriots have been so damn good.
How many first round picks did Buffalo put out there for quarterbacks? Bledsoe. He had Lossman.
And this kid's no great shakes either. Josh Allen.
Josh, he's okay. First round pick he took out of Florida State. They gave him a first round. They're supposed to be in the third. They've been over like five or six first round picks.
Right, but again,
but quarterbacks.
But we're used to the Patriots doing this. We're used to it. They're 9-3 right now, and people are worried about the playoffs in the situation. I get it because they haven't been as dominant as they were in previous years.
So, but if you look back at the last 19 years, Steve, where would you rank this team? If you're looking at personnel wise, if you're looking at 9-3 now, and you're looking at all those other teams, I would put them at best in the middle of the pack, and probably maybe slightly below middle of the pack.
You should have. You've got offensive weapons. You've got reasonable offensive weapons. Defense, you've got maybe a decent scheme.
That's why that number, 528 winning percentage, strength of a victory, to me is an unbelievable number when you look at it. They have now, they're 3-0 against divisional leaders. I mean, the numbers are startling because, again, when you look at the team, you sit there and say, we've seen a lot better Patriot teams.
Then you look at the win-loss record. Geez, a 9-3.
Yeah.
It looked like they could have lost some. Yeah. Okay.
Did you pick them 16-0 this year again?
13-3.
But he couldn't tell us which teams they might lose to.
That's because I didn't think they were going to lose any.
But so you said 16-0.
We'll keep going with this argument. I said probably.
Which did you say, 16-0?
If you let me finish here.
I won't.
Tuckaholic.
I won't.
I said there's going to be teams you wouldn't expect them to lose.
That's such a cop out.
Exactly, that is such a cop out. What I said.
Okay, so that if you were kind of using your logic, I'm going to use your logic.
Don't use my logic.
All right, it's very convoluted. If you think they shouldn't lose any games, any loss that they have. Wait a minute, time out. I let you speak. Now I get to speak. Any loss that they have is unexpected. Correct.
Correct.
So think about what you just said.
When I said teams that could compare with them the most, they're not going to lose to.
You didn't say that either.
The teams you expected least.
All right.
You're not listening.
Right,
you never listen.
No, you didn't say least.
Neither one of you guys didn't expect
the least you expect them to lose.
No, you didn't
you
say
did
that.
You did not expect them to
you
lose.
You just changed what you said.
You did not expect them to lose.
You're easier than Reamer. All right?
You just don't listen. And I was right. You know what the problem is? At least he's on the radio.
Right, let me go back to the phone. For
us.
Good
point. Where's Joey?
Well played.
I had my hands on him today. I let him go.
That was good. I got to give it to you for freaking me high five. That was good. At least he's on the
radio.
Chris
Rose right again.
Boy.
Here's Mark. Mark's in Brookline. Hey, next up here on the Real Post Game Show.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
I want to help Fred out with his argument.
Please, he needs all the help.
I was correct.
They
lost the teams you didn't expect.
You didn't say that. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I said. I have it written down.
This is my phrasing. So my brother and I watch these games all the time. Actually, my brother works at Boston College. Anyway, what we always say is the Patriots win games they're supposed to win more frequently than other teams. And actually, today it's
they win more teams than
Green Bay
games.
Packers, right? Packers
but they win more games than other teams. Every other team.
Well, yeah, that's right. But they generally
what they're going to do is win more games over teams you expect them to win because
they win.
They win more than anybody else.
Well, that's true. They win more than anyone else, but they also, when you just look at the general stats, don't cut me off here because I have that one point I wanted to get to.
It's all good.
It's not this.
You're on the verge.
Yeah, but do you think there's something to what I'm saying now, right? That's how I interpret what Fred is saying is they don't generally lose games that they should not lose when you look at the general team strength.
That's correct.
And that's a really important parameter, and you don't see it in Green Bay. I mean, they lost to today, and by the way, I would have fired Rodgers before McCarthy myself.
Too much money.
But you guys are missing a simple point of logic.
Well, let me hear.
A very simple point, all right? They are the best team and have been for 18 or 19 years in terms of winning games. To nitpick games that they should lose.
No. But I think what Fred is saying is the two can still exist, Steve, because what you're saying is They've been a very winning team, a very good team. That means the number of teams they should beat is higher, right?
Is everybody. That's what Fred said. Fred said they should beat everybody.
But because of human nature, they're going to lose some. And I predicted this year it would be teams that you didn't expect that.
So now they're mentally and psychologically weak?
No. It's like they're human.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, get to your other point before we have to move on. Go ahead. What was your other point?
Good discussion. My point was this, or actually my question was this to you guys. I wanted some commentary on the, I guess it was McDaniel's call, the third and a yard and a half or something, when they were up, 10-0 before the half, and instead of running the ball or something, they did a fancy screen play or something to White and didn't get it. Did that grind you guys gut like mine?
You mean the fourth down? They were in an outside sweep with White.
Fourth down. Yeah, fourth.
After and they didn't get it.
I couldn't understand why that would be called. That freaked my brother and I out. Are you kidding me?
What did you want him to do?
Run it.
Run it where? Right up the middle?
Definitely up the middle. They did it twice before.
Agreed. They did it twice before successfully?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe because they were successful before, maybe Minnesota was looking for it.
I don't know. I was a little surprised that they ran the ball as much as they did run the ball today.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't having great success early on, but I think they were trying to just sell the play action, right? They were trying
Open
to convince the defense.
Agreed.
Okay, we're going to run the ball. We're not going to stop. And so a lot of times you sit there and say, oh, my God, why are they continuing to do it? But then they started to have success running the football, but they opened up all sorts of play action opportunities.
They look to the big picture. They don't just look at what quarter. Correct. They look at what's going to happen in the third quarter and the fourth quarter.
And I'm a big advocate of when you got third and short or fourth and short of pounding it up. Get your ball carrier going north-south. Going east-west, a lot of things can happen, and that's what happened on that play.
When you're at home and you can use the cadence to your advantage, too.
Good. Let's go to Allen, Watertown, Massachusetts.
Alan.
What's up, Allen?
Hi, guys.
Hello,
Fred. Amory Street Market, Mr. Smirlis, nicest guy on the planet.
Who's that?
I remember that for almost 50 years.
Smirlis and Sons, Amory Street.
Great guy.
The market.
Wow.
Yep.
Thank you. Great place.
The question, I wanted you guys to correct me about something that I've always said, and I could be way off base. I think one of the most important reasons over the course of a season to have a good running game is that if a team is pass blocking 35 to 45 or 50 plays a game, by the time you get to the 10th or the 11th game, the offensive line is much more physically beat than if they were have a balanced attack. And, of course, getting the play action pass established and having a balanced game is the most important reason. But over the course of the year, I remember it happened in 07. Am I way off base, or is that a correct statement?
You're correct. Is that when you're run blocking, you're firing it out. It's more aggressive. When you're pass blocking, you're catching. So adding the run block in there makes the offensive line stay aggressive.
Well, but the league's changed. The idea of a balanced offense is really not what's going on these days.
Nope. Everything is to set up the passing game. That's what it is.
And even your best running backs in the game now are guys that can catch the ball.
I will say this, Alan, that if you ask offensive linemen, they'll tell you they like to run block.
Yes.
They like to
do it. As a defensive lineman, if they're hitting you and driving you back, that's the worst thing in the world.
And when you've got interior linemen and you've got a Shaq Mason and you've got Andrews and guys like that can fire off the line, why not do it if you can do it?
And you tell me, Fred, on the same count, though, if you're pass blocking, isn't it more energy to rush the passer?
Yes, it is.
So aren't your defensive linemen getting tired, too?
Yeah, they do.
So
they don't get
it's a wash.
It's more – a lot of times, pass rushing is enjoyable because you're not whacking as much as
but 99% of the time, you're
unsuccessful. Like 99%, like we down in Miami, it's a hot day.
Right.
When you're in shape, it's not that bad, but it's intimidating when you get physically beat on the run. Pass blocking, some guys take a little rest as a pass blocker.
Yeah, that smash mouth idea could be a little demoralizing.
But he's right. Yeah. If a team's consistently running and they're like the Buffalo Bills used to do, and they were in a hurry huddle, they'd have like 8 plays within 3 minutes, that's tiring. And they run the ball, and they pass the ball. But the aggressiveness of it, when your guy play action pass, you're stepping at him, he gets a piece of you, so you don't have a running stat to take an angle on him.
Here's the other part of the equation. You've got the best quarterback in the league, you have had for a number of years now. Are you going to take the ball out of his hands just to be balanced?
No.
No, no. Well, I think you need some of it in there in order to keep
you
keep
well,
the opening.
But you enhance his game. I mean, he
slows down the pass rush.
I mean, he's great at play action, but you got to sell it. If you don't sell it, they're just going to come at Brady,
and,
right?
Yeah, and you also have to you can't go by the book on plays. You can't always run the ball on third and one.
Right.
You can't. You have to show things that make other teams pay attention to you, which will make running the ball a little bit easier in those short yard situations. You've got one of the best play callers in the NFL in Josh McDaniels, and 98% of the time he's calling the right play. Every once in a while he takes a shot. He takes a chance. Run sideways with James White instead of pounding it up the middle.
They read
That's
that. They read that perfectly.
They did. But what I'm saying is that you have to throw things in as an offensive coordinator that make the other team pay attention, so that you can't be you're still going to be somewhat predictable, but you can't be 100% predictable.
And it's a guessing game too. You know, sometimes they guess right and run right play.
Yep. All right, quick break, and we're right back to the phone calls right here on the Real Post Game Show.
Let's get you back to the Real Post Game Show. The Pats get a huge win over the Vikings. Talk about it now on the Real Post Game Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, time right now for the Wise Play of the Game. It's brought to you by Wise Snacks, Ridgy Tailgate Classics.
Great plays, 24 yards, 15 yards, 12 yards. Brady throws another
Josh Gordon with the touchdown catch, but I thought his best catch of the day was one that was thrown by Brady that was a little bit too low.
Oh,
he
yeah.
found it, was able to secure it, pull it in.
Yep.
That was a great catch, phenomenal catch.
Patterson made a great catch, too.
He
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
That's your play
yeah.
of the game?
Absolutely.
Tom Brady cracks 1,000
yards.
Oh,
stop it, please. What did Belichick already say?
You didn't even tell.
It's not a big deal.
So now Belichick's
deal.
Wrong?
It's not a big deal. Yeah, it's Belichick.
Belichick
wrong,
doesn't know what he's talking about all of a sudden? Why would you say that about
him? He may have alternative reasons.
Why would you say
he's
that about Belichick?
Build his head up too much. I wouldn't
get carried away with 1,000 yards, Fred.
You wouldn't get carried away with a front loader.
For a guy that's been around for as long as he's been, 1,000 yards, not a lot. Not a lot. I wouldn't go crazy. Hey, the Wise Play of the Game has been brought to you by Wise Snack Ridgy Tailgate Classics. Look for the new Buffalo Wings. That's Fred's favorite. And the dry rub rib flavors, you'll find them at your local store. We're at the Best Yet broadcast facility. Gorgeous state-of-the-art facility located right across from Gillette Stadium. 16-7 right now with under a minute remaining in the first half. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are once again driving.
You know what? The Rivers is having a bad day.
Well, they're rushing him.
They're all over.
And he doesn't know what's coming at him. He's holding the ball. He doesn't know what's coming at him. And he's going to throw a pick here soon, I think.
He's getting at Aaron Rodgers look in his eye.
He's one of those guys that you watch him for a while, and he can have a terrific game, and then you watch him again, and you say, man, what is he doing?
Yep.
You know?
He's
not
always,
much. That's what he's doing.
Off the wrong foot.
He's also been enamored of his ability. He's got a lot of ability. That's no doubt about it.
Great
but
arm,
he tries to do things that he probably shouldn't try at times. You know, he'll throw the ball.
Like have 9 kids?
What's wrong with that?
He's throwing 9 kids.
I think he's got like 9 kids.
Yeah.
He loves his wife.
He does. Back to the phone calls we go. Here's Antonio in Rhode Island. Antonio!
Hi, Antonio.
All right, Antonio.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for the call. Nice to hear from you. Jackson Foxborough. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Jack.
Hey, Jack. What's up?
I was at the game today, and I noticed Gronk got pretty banged up, especially after one play.
He did.
He was slow to get up and then kind of limped off the field.
Yep.
I was wondering what you guys think the rest of his regular season will look like, his position on the team. And what you think he'll be able to produce as he's pretty injury prone. And also shout out to St. John's Prep Football Division I state champs.
Woo, there you go, St. John's.
Who'd they beat? Catholic Memorial? No. Who'd they beat?
I don't know.
I think they did. I'm not sure. Anyway, Gronk's health is an issue.
I would worry about it.
Gronk's health
I'm concerned.
Is absolutely an issue.
Because he takes big hits all the time.
He does.
And in the past, the big hits, he would get right up. And now when he gets a big hit, we're watching him limp off.
So
whether
he limps
it's the
off
back,
the field,
whether it's the ankle.
Yeah, you don't know if it's the knee, the ankle, the back, the shoulder, whatever it would be. It's not good when he lifts off the field.
And it's a cumulative effect. You keep getting those big hits. It's, you know, but again, he's we'll see how the injury report is this week, and that's a big part of it. It's you know, if he's not, he still took enough double teams today that allowed Brady to hit five or six different receivers in the first half.
Yeah,
and didn't even have to target Gronk. People in the league still respect him, and he's still a factor when defensive coordinators look at the Patriots' offense. But you know, this
when he's on the field, we're worried about him getting on the field.
Yeah,
where's Allen? He'll save the day.
Who? He's a punter.
I mean, not punter. tight end. I forget his name now. How long has it been?
He's been hurt too. He's back practicing at the end of the week, but I wouldn't.
He caught one pass a couple weeks ago.
He did. He did. That was a monumental event. He's a good blocker. And Gronk's blocking once again was good during the course of the game.
Had a bunch of holding calls today.
But you're concerned about all of this stuff. The one reason that looking at this game, they were healthy coming into this game. Yeah. This may be the healthiest this team has been all season long, and they were able to use some weapons that they haven't been able to use on a regular basis.
Yep.
But if they start losing a Gronk, they start losing some of these players, you know, a Burkhead again or Sony Michel or whatever.
You are
what you're concerned about. Going forward, I'm going to give you the obvious. Health is the ultimate.
That's the big thing.
It's the biggest
thing. How many guys you have healthy? If your quarterback's not healthy, your running back.
You say that about any team, really.
Any team.
Right.
Especially the quarterback. If he's
but they've overcome not having Gronk there before.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been able to do it at times. I mean, obviously, you want, you know, the most talented tight end I've ever seen. You want that guy in the game. But they've proven that they can still put points up and win games and without Gronk in the lineup.
But there's a bunch of guys that you got to worry about. And when you look at it, you saw it today. When they have all of these different weapons, we talked about the running back. A few weeks ago, they basically went into a game with no legitimate running back. Patterson became the featured running back
awesome.
In a game.
Is that a great game?
Right. And you're sitting here going, how can they do this every week? Well, today they not only had Patterson, who they didn't have to use much in the running game, but now James White goes back, as we said earlier. He goes back to your third down back. Sony Michel runs it 17 times, but you didn't start with him.
Right.
You went with Burkhead early in the game. Maybe he got worn out. Maybe the conditioning was a factor. You used different people at the position. James Devlin suddenly became the weapon in goal line.
You said it would be.
In goal line.
And also Burkhead, when he came in, you could tell his legs were fresh. He came in and he took – planted and exploded through the line, so he made a big difference.
Changes everything. Here's Joe down in Rhode Island. Next up, you're on the Real Postgame Show.
Hey, what's happening, boys?
What's up, Joe?
You guys do an amazing job. I'm a cigar broker here in New England, and just curious, where you smoking? I can hear you cutting cigars and lighting them up in the background.
Well, we have our own cigar czar here, Joe. His name is Steve DiAzzi.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, he knows cigars inside and
fine.
Out.
Fine. Here's another cigar for you, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A couple cigars that I rep up your way, and you guys can enjoy them.
Leave your number for Steve. He'll take care of you.
Beautiful thing. Cheers, boys. You guys
all right,
bye, man.
Everybody's a cigar guy now. Did you notice that, Steve? Everybody's a cigar guy now.
It's a trend. Fred started it about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
No. How old are you now? Yeah, no, it was 50,
70,
50 years
70
ago.
Right now.
50 years ago. You were 11 or 12?
Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown, and the Steelers have just scored again. Antonio's back in Rhode Island. Antonio, you there? Oh, my God. How many times are you going to do this, man?
What in the wide world?
Are you there, Antonio?
Antonio!
All right, I can't do it with it.
He had a lot to the show.
He did.
Yeah, he's good.
He added a tremendous amount to the pro. Pittsburgh has just scored again, so they're going to go into the locker room up 23-7, right? 23-7. Oh, okay, we got more celebration stuff. By the way, I want to give it to the Minnesota Vikings for the worst team celebration I have seen all year long.
It was
a rundown.
It was a baseball rundown.
Was it a rundown awesome. Or was it what we used to call the kid, monkey in the middle, where you'd keep the ball away from the kid in the middle? And then if you got the ball, you got to be one of the guys throwing it back and forth.
I don't think that was it.
I don't think it was a rundown.
We didn't play that game in Lynn. I don't know. Huh? It seemed like a baseball rundown to me. That's what I thought of it.
They played in Lynn. It was idiot in the middle. That's what it was, right?
Four in the middle.
It's funny. I always was in the middle. I never could understand why.
He always made the shortest kid be in the middle. Just throw it over his head.
But wasn't that awful?
It was awful.
It was poorly coordinated. I mean,
poor.
Well, the first throw was missed.
Yeah, but you know these guys practice this all week long. Yep. And then you come out and it's showtime and the lights are on you. And
I think Thielen knew it was bad because he took off and left the other two guys standing there like, what? What happened?
He did.
Oh, it was great.
He took off.
That was one of the worst.
So this
just
one
slammed the ball. Jeez.
So this one is not looking good for the Chargers. See, the Chargers look like they're in serious trouble, and I agree with Fred.
Last two
series, the offensive line was not able to hold up, and Rivers is now seeing receivers that aren't there.
You know another thing he does? He takes a little bit of a sidewind throw.
He does.
His ball, it doesn't go that high. He had like three or four of them already.
Not unexpected, but when you think of the stats that you were throwing out about strength of victories, they've won a lot of games, but you look at over the last 14 or 15 games, the teams they've beaten aren't that good.
No,
that's just not that good, and they've been fattening up on it, and they've had an easier schedule, and they just haven't been able to pull the trigger on very.
Well, that's the one thing I think people are overlooking with
17 second they scored
with the New England Patriots, because if you look back at the losses, so the loss earlier in the season was against Detroit. Well, Detroit knew exactly what they were going to do. Plus, it's earlier in the year. We always know Patriots are vulnerable through the first four games. It's not surprising to see the Patriots drop two of the first four. Right? We've seen that even when they've won.
Correct.
All right, that's happened. But on top of that, then you get the game in Tennessee.
Yep.
They know the Patriots inside and out. The Patriots threw a dog out there in that game. And then the Jacksonville game made all the sense in the world because Jacksonville, they were playing for their Super Bowl. And notice what happened to Jacksonville after that game.
Unbelievable.
It was their Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
They thought the season was over.
After that win against the Patriots.
They were playing like it was March.
After that win against the Patriots, they were universally applauded as the next great
odds on favorite to represent
then
the AFC.
Two in a row.
And it fall apart.
You know what they should do? They should rent Bortles out to any team playing the Patriots. It's the only time he can play.
He sucks against everybody else.
It's so bad.
Right. It's weird. And they that defense, you think that defense alone would give them a 500 team, but the defense hasn't stepped up either. They did today, obviously, against a guy who's been throwing the ball real well. But Luck putting up a goose egg for the Colts is strange, too.
That's funny. Andrew Luck's name popped up. I was watching the NFL Network the other night, and they were talking about MVP candidates, and suddenly they threw Andrew Luck in there.
Yeah.
Because he's throwing the ball.
He's playing great.
He's throwing the ball like he did 2 years ago, Fred, before he got injured.
Right.
He's looking good again. And then they put a goose egg up on the
But in the history of the MVP award, quarterbacks that have been shut out have never won the MVP. Just saying. It's a fact. Look it up.
Okay, just hold saying. On a sec. Oh, you're on. Lied again.
You know he's lying. Why do you even fall for it? You sit there and go, really?
Really?
Like, really? Why do you do that? Why do you fall for it? He lied.
It's all in the presentation,
I don't want to call my friend a liar.
It's all in the presentation.
He lies all the time.
You call Steve a liar?
Yeah, I don't lie.
I'm a liar. Okay.
What I do is I throw testers out there to see if you guys are still paying attention. I've been carrying the show for the last hour. Jeez.
Yeah. Please.
Poor guy. Scott's exhausted.
Scott's in a car. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Coach Scott.
Hey, one thing that drives me crazy, and I know Josh McDaniels is one of the best play callers in the league, but, you know, third and goal, fourth and goal, I'd love to see the quarterback under center with the running back. At least you've got the threat of the run. You've got a threat of a sneak. I hate going five wide at that location. What's the logic?
Well, the logic is you put them in a nickel or a dime.
And they got their big men out there. You get an advantage.
Yeah.
If you got nine guys in line down in front of you, why would you run at that?
Right.
If they're stacking everyone in there and you go five wides, then who's going to cover who?
Well, definitely got two touchdowns today on the goal line.
On the goal line.
Yeah.
But they're always prepared.
Yeah, 1 yard out, 2 yards out.
He's got Brady-like numbers for yards per carry.
But if you go in shotgun, they know what's coming. And the line just rushes right in.
Well, high formation.
I don't disagree, but they've been one of the highest scoring teams for 10, 12 years now.
Here's the new thing you got to be careful of, and you saw the Patriots do it a couple times today, and you see teams do it all the time. The little push pass, where you're in the shotgun, and the running back is running in front of you, and the reason you do it is there's no risk or low risk, because if they drop it, it's considered a pass.
Right.
It's a forward pass.
Right. The refs don't know that, though.
It really is a run.
Right.
And you're seeing teams do that, and they're doing it out of shotgun.
But the big thing is, when they come out with five wides, they know a weakness that the team has that they think they can exploit. right? Some teams are tough to go up the middle. Some teams are easy to go with the passing. You get the best quarterback in history, and you got some good receivers. But they're not just guessing. This is something they work. This is what would work in this
situation.
Well,
they're doing it based, as you know, on what the defense has given you. So
what the personnel is out there.
If the defense has stacked up and they've got extra DBs out there, you're sitting there going, we can run against these guys right now. But if they're stacked up.
If they stay a nickel and dime, you can run at it.
And so a lot of times you can open up some stuff for the running game by spreading everybody out because now defensively they're putting defensive backs that are not run stoppers.
Right.
So that's a big
play
part
against their weaknesses.
Big part of it. All right, we'll take another break. We'll be right back here on the Real Postgame Show.
This is the Real Postgame Show. The Pats defeat the Vikings. Discuss it now on the Real Postgame Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, stating the obvious, it was clearly a very disappointing loss. It was a game that we needed to win. We're all disappointed. I did not do a good enough job. We didn't do as good enough job as a football team. I think if you look at the start of the game, I'll start with the offense. The opportunity to get into rhythm, handling the football we were not at our best today. That was clearly evident with the number of drops in the passing game. But we made some plays. We were up and down in the run game. Defensively, I thought we did some good things situationally, but they ran the ball very effectively against us. And special teams, the reality of that was too many penalties, particularly at key times. So, not good enough. Disappointing.
But wait, it gets worse.
Yeah, it got worse because that was his last post-game press conference.
Fired before
minutes
that?
After that, he was fired. And he was fired, and even in his last post-game press conference, he's making excuses for Aaron Rodgers. We had a lot of drop passes. I didn't see the game, so he probably is telling the truth. But even that, it's unbelievable. So Mike McCarthy is gone as the coach of the Green Bay Packers. They have restructured the organization, and so it's all going to revolve around Mark Murphy, who is
Murphy used to be a part of the NFLPA, too, Steve.
I believe he was.
Yeah.
So he is the CEO. It's a publicly owned company. Everybody's got the little piece of paper for $280 bucks or whatever, which is worthless. But so he's like the owner. So it's like Bob Kraft would be in charge of naming
so no one's the above coaches. Him. He doesn't own anything.
No, he's the CEO.
It's got Aaron Rodgers all over it. His fingerprints are all over this
How would
thing.
You like to be?
And going forward, the next coach is going to be picked by the CEO, not by the general manager.
How would you like to be the general manager? He just signed this year.
He did. Ted Thompson's leaving, right.
He had an opportunity to interview for the Houston Texans job. He was in consideration for, I think, San Francisco and one other team. But because the Packers offered him a deal, he passed on the Houston job. And now he's being basically taken out of the mix.
He's got no power.
Right.
You know what he is? He's a glorified scout right now.
He'll
work the draft board and whatever.
Right.
But my guess is that the new coach probably will have a lot of say in that because.
Well, who hires and fires Murphy?
The board of directors.
The board of directors.
So they're the owners.
In this show, the board of directors, if we want you fired, which we might, Steve and I would have to.
So the other people that would have two votes. Very good. Now it comes down.
We'll give Morrell a vote too. Okay, he's going to vote against you as well. So
Alex is in my.
Who's the board of directors in Green Bay? A couple of dairy farmers and a cheesemaker.
A couple of cheeseheads. Huh?
I will say this though, which is pretty amazing.
Wear straw hats.
It's amazing. Mike McCarthy got fired today. There have been other guys fired. Marv Lewis is still the coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, yeah. Have you watched him coach?
Oh, Jesus! They got beaten again at home today. So he's now gone 15 years. He has never won a playoff game. When has that ever happened? Go look it up in any sport. It is never. I guarantee you, without even looking it up. People can do the research. I'll bet you it has never, ever happened before, ever, that a guy has gone 15 years as a coach of a franchise, never winning a playoff game.
It's just amazing that.
That's the Bach team.
And Cincinnati was always famous for having one of the lowest salaries in the league.
Well, you got to go up to the
cap.
You
have to go to a certain amount.
They go on the floor. They don't necessarily go on the
ceiling. Right. So now they're going to save money they've always hired cut rate coaches too.
Cut rate coaches. They're the lowest player personnel.
Absolutely.
They don't send people that do coaching. I mean,
but if you're a fan of that franchise and you're frustrated right now because it's been a long time, you have to go back to Chris Collinsworth where the Bengals were really, you know.
Kenny Anderson.
Kenny Anderson, right, a legitimate
Isaac
franchise.
Curtis.
Yeah. And they're talking about Hugh Jackson, who's on the
They're
the coaching staff.
About him being a
they are.
No, they aren't.
They are. I'm
how could
you.
The city would burn down the stadium?
It would. If I were a fan.
Here's a guy that can't win a playoff game. You go bring a guy in that can't win a game.
Steve brought this up earlier because we were doing the strength of victory percentages in the league. The Patriots by far number one, and the Chargers were way down there. And the Chargers right now are getting blown out by the Steelers here at halftime. What is it, 23-7 or whatever? So here's the Chargers so far this season. And Steve was right. Who the hell have they beaten? Nobody. So they lose to Kansas City 38-28. That was a home game. They lose to the Rams 35-23. So those are two highly seeded teams if we're looking at the playoff picture, right? They beat Buffalo 31-20.
Big
deal. They beat San Francisco by two. They beat Oakland. They beat Cleveland. They beat Tennessee by one at home 20-19. I'll give them this. They won in Seattle. 25-17, so that is the only team that is in the playoff picture right now that they have beaten. All of these other teams are stiffs. They win in Oakland, 20-6. They lose in Denver. They win in Arizona, 45-10. By the way, something that Green Bay couldn't do at home.
Right.
I give them that. They played nobody, Steve. You're right.
No,
they played nobody.
It's true.
Nobody. And people keep on talking about them. Oh, you don't want to play the Chargers in the postseason. They're well-rounded. You want to play the Chargers? You asked the question, I think, earlier. I don't know if it was on or off the air. Who would you rather play, the Chargers or the Kansas City Chiefs? I'll take the Chargers.
So we wanted to
Chiefs, always, Chiefs always, can put 40-some-odd points up on the board against you.
There's always a team in the playoffs
can.
That you look at and say, okay, those guys are paper tigers. They've fattened up on the dregs of the league. And every year there's one of those teams in the playoffs. Matter of fact, there was some team that was like 12-4. I don't remember the last couple of years. And you looked at who they beat, and it was like, they really haven't beaten anybody, and they lost to three of the four losses were to playoff teams. It's just, it's you can see it. You can see it with a team like that, that they just fattened up on the lousy teams.
They played a bunch of good teams. Yeah, they played the Patriots. They played the Rams.
Shaughnessy should move to San Diego and write about the tomato cans.
Right. He was right, but it was the wrong team.
Right.
He was right about the wrong team.
See, that's what Shaughnessy is missing. Yes, the Patriots play in the tomato can division. I'll give you that, Dan. Nice little thing. You can put the tomato can out in front. It looks good and whatever. The difference is the New England Patriots every single season play a first team schedule, place schedule. Right, first place schedule every single year because they finish first. So when they're matched up to the other division, and that's how they do it, you play the first place team. Here's Jim in Bedford. Next up here in the EI. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show.
What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, all week long before this game, we heard a lot about Brady, how he can't throw to the left, and I think
I've never heard that. Wait a minute. Hold
on. Is that on a show?
He can't throw to the left.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, Felton was saying, and it was even said on one of the shows on EEI that he was having trouble completing passes to his left, throwing left.
What?
Is there a number? Is there a statistic out there? I mean, he may favor throwing to the right because he's right-handed in the way.
But it's easier to throw to your left if you're right-handed because you get turned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's like looking at the left side of the field, after last week, after against Tennessee and the Jets, that narrative kind of came up. One thing I noticed, though, I'm wondering if it was like a comfort level thing. Did you notice he went back to his old helmet today?
No, he did that a couple weeks ago.
Well, you want us to call
him? Yeah, he says he feels more comfortable in it. He's going to have to change by next year, and he did it for a few weeks, and he didn't like it or whatever. I've never heard of this throwing to the left. I don't know where you heard that. I can tell you this, the screen passes that they were throwing, we were talking about some of the interior screen stuff that they were trying to throw. He was constantly throwing to his left on the screen pass.
He throws to his left.
What?
Doesn't roll out to his left as well. He throws out better to the right.
Curran actually said it on NBC Sports Boston last week, last Sunday at the postgame show, and there were a couple things out there with it, but I'm wondering.
What doesn't make any sense?
I thought he changed his helmet today. I'm wondering if he's having field vision trouble with that old gizmo helmet.
Well, he was originally, they changed the mask. He didn't like the mask. He said that it was a vision problem, but no, I think he in the Jets game last week he had the old helmet back again. He did.
Well, it looks like he's starting to look like his old self. So I'm wondering if he had maybe some field vision trouble. And
yeah, I'm not sure it's just the helmet or I haven't heard this go into the, maybe there is a stat where he throws less to the left than he does.
He rolls
to the
out
right.
better to the right, but a quarterback dropping back, a right arm quarterback, it's easy to throw to your left. It's easy. That's intent, but I don't see the difference. Rolling
right-handed
out,
quarterbacks throw better to their right side.
I don't see what would be a prop.
It's a fact.
You must be the guy that said
See, here's the thing. Every once in a while, I throw one of these things in that's actually the truth, so now you have no idea whether I'm lying or not.
It is tough. Very deceptive.
I'm not deceptive. I'm just keeping
So, in other words, every once in a while, you actually have the truth.
It's been a while, though. Keep you guys on your toes. That's why. It's like when you got third and one and you run the ball to the outside. You're just trying to keep things, you know, honest.
There you go.
That's all.
The fun thing is
I'm the Josh McDaniels of sports radio.
Go back and finding out everything he said is a lie.
Well, I don't know. Curran might have come up with a stat where he is
Football
throwing it more.
Right?
I don't know. He's good at it.
Yep,
comes up with some of these. I don't know. I had not heard that. I don't see a trend of him shying away from throwing to the – I can remember a lot of passes tonight that he threw to the left.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. All right. You'll
probably never hear it again.
Well, was it fact or not, Steve? You made it up.
That was fact.
He made it up.
Now you're lying again.
Absolutely. What were we talking about?
So how do you know what he's lying
about? Totally made it up. See what I mean?
I did not make it up.
I just forgot that.
I can tell you a lie.
No, it's right there. I can tell you a lie.
Look, right here. It's on the internet.
But it's written in crayon on the top of the
It's on the internet.
Intraweb. Whatever it's called. The Steelers are driving once again. This is really becoming an embarrassment here tonight. We're going to see these guys 2 weeks from now, Fred.
You know what's a little embarrassing about the Steelers? Not embarrassing, but... They haven't missed a beat without Le'Veon Bell.
No.
Considered one of the best running backs in the NFL.
Unbelievable. And had this staccato movement where he'd stop and then he'd take off again.
Great.
And he's hard to tackle.
Great running back.
Great running back.
Receiver.
Right.
Excellent.
Right.
They haven't skipped a beat.
James Conner comes in and just, they don't miss a beat on it. Yep. That's great.
His numbers are better at this part of the season.
So they look at it now and say, we were overpaying him. What the hell were he wanted more money? We're overpaying him. Based on what he's bringing for production, right?
I wonder what they do with him. I wonder if they, because he has to come back for another year.
Yeah, maybe they put.
He doesn't get service credit for this year, so it doesn't count towards.
I don't want him managing my money. What did he lose? $17 million.
He lost an awful lot of money. It's really dumb, and he could have made some money if the Steelers totally fell apart. But Steve's bringing up a great point. They haven't missed a beat without him. All right, 617-779-7937. Right here on the Real Post Game Show.
The Real Postgame Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. The Pats defeat the Vikings. Now the most comprehensive review of it begins. This is the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve Diassi, and Fred Smirlis. Broadcasting from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. This is the Real Postgame Game Show. Here's Glenn Ordway, Steve Diassi, and Fred Smirlis on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, we're probably doing the same thing you are as we talk about the Patriots and their big win against the Vikings, and it was a big win. This was a really good victory for New England, both offensively, defensively, against a good team, a good test. We're also watching the Chargers and the Steelers, and I'm telling you, the Chargers can't even hang right now with the Steelers. They look awful. We were trying to figure out what Adam Thielen's issue was with Bill Belichick because he started screaming at Belichick and Belichick told him to get the F out of here. Thielen's problem was he was upset at the timing because Patrick Chung went down with an injury before Belichick threw out that challenge flag. And so he thought he was stalling to be able to get another opportunity to look at that play. Well, he probably was. That's not unusual.
No, that's fair.
And the reason I would say I'm not sure Chung would be the guy is we see Chung go down two or three times during the course of a game.
Right.
And, you know, he gets right back up like the Energizer Bunny and gets back out there. But we've seen this happen with him before. But that's apparently what pissed him off.
All right. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Suck it up and catch more football.
Don't worry about injuries and about Belichick. He'll hit
and then Thielen dropped his next target.
He did.
You don't,
Belichick got into his head.
You don't want to do that.
You don't mess with the king.
No.
Nope. All right.
Belichick with a little curse
boy,
on that brain.
Boy, I hope
he put that mind meld on him.
Yep. I looked him in the eye and melted half his brain.
I hope they had those NFL films, mics on the sideline. Yep. I would like to see this one again. Who was it that he was screaming at in the sideline a couple years ago? Remember that? It was a receiver, too, wasn't it?
It was.
And he was screaming at somebody, and he got into a shouting match. Who the hell was that?
I don't know.
Ravens player, I believe. Is it a Ravens?
Well, I know he went back and forth a few times with Ed Reed, which was
he loves Ed Reed.
And that was more. That was more. He considered Ed Reed, you know, at least a on par. Ed Reed's a Hall of Famer, and you know, so that was a good interchange. That was two great guys at their job going back and forth. But there was a receiver, and I think you're right.
I'm trying to remember who it was on the sideline. Maybe somebody will remember. I never think it's a good look when a player starts going at the opposing head coach.
Right.
You just don't do that.
It depends
on
the coach.
You've done that before. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah.
So no. You're confusing opposing coaches with your own coach.
Well,
your own coach is what you meant.
I had Hank Bullock.
You just didn't want him to be
That's
your coach.
That's a bad coach, Steve.
It's a bad look, though, when you do it with the opposing coach, don't you think?
Especially if it's a Gatorade bucket.
Especially when the coach comes back at you. Paul's in Westfield here on EEI. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Good evening, gentlemen. Are we happy tonight?
It was a nice win. This is a good win today. You know, quality team, good win.
Yes, sir, it was. And to think that Minnesota is a good team. They're the number one defense on third down. The first half, we got to admit, it was close and can't get much tougher. The way they're smash-moshing each other back and forth, really showing an effort. And that paid off because we stuck it out in that second half. Big difference, taking advantage of the outside plays. Seeing Tom have a variety of catchers. Again, Flash Gordon, really impressive. Gronk drawing a crowd, and then the defense picking him off twice, pressuring him up. He's folding up like a lawn chair under pressure like every other quarterback. And a good team win. I don't know what Tom and Bill were so fired up about, but, boy, they pissed on the wrong Patriots because they got stomped on tonight in a nice statement maker.
So third down, you were talking about the third down situation. Patriots in third down efficiency were 7 of 14. Coming into the game, I believe Minnesota had held opponents to 26%.
Wow.
Yep.
That's 50%. So that's a remarkable difference. And when you talk about the physicality of the game, do you guys remember how this game started when Landon Roberts had a hit on that first play on an incompleted pass.
Yep, right on the sideline.
It was almost as if we're going to out-physical them today. Yeah. We're gonna go and pound them.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It was probably talked about during the course of the week. That was the first play of the game. And you're right, Paul. It kind of set the tempo because it was physical.
They were physical. I mean, that defensive line for the Minnesota is a physical team. They can rush the pass. They were doing a nice job of moving the stunts, staying in front of guys, giving Tom some time to throw. And a bunch of times, Tom stepped up. When he can step up, that's when he's most dangerous.
And I want to get into the Kareem Hunt thing because the league, I believe, is going to take tremendous heat on this one.
They should.
And they should because the more and more we're learning about this, the worse it is for the NFL and how the NFL really – talk about dropping the ball. The NFL did not want to see the videotape. The NFL wanted to bury this thing as quickly as possible.
You don't think they knew the tape? Already saw the tape?
I don't think they have. I don't because
you don't think the league could have seen.
Fred, they didn't interview Kareem Hunt. How do you not interview the player?
They don't want to know.
They don't want to know.
I think the league not knowing that there was a tape there.
So after the Ray Rice thing, they bring in a female who's going to be in charge of all this domestic violence stuff, and I understand this was not a partner, a girlfriend, or a wife. It still was a woman. It still was they had a relationship, albeit maybe 3 or 4 hours old, right? But they had a relationship. So the league does all of this. They establish new protocol on how we're going to deal with all this stuff. They sent it out so that all of us would say, oh, the league is doing something now about this violence against women. Okay. And then what ends up happening? You have a case of it here. The case is known by everybody.
February happened.
Yes, and they all commented about it.
The team questioned about it. They said they didn't tell them the truth.
Correct.
But they knew that something happened there, so they knew there's cameras there.
Everybody knew that there was something that happened there.
Right.
So you tell me, Fred, are you simply going to take Kareem Hunt's version of what happened. You never do that if you've got a case of a.
Now, unless you know it's worse than. That's right. And you don't, and you want to try to squash
it. Okay, but that's the Kansas City Chiefs. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, this is a hell of a player. He's in his second year.
Right.
He's 23 years
Rookie
old.
Of the year.
I don't want to lose this kid.
No.
So right. I'm not going to do anything about it. Even though that's the wrong thing to do, I'm going to protect the player because it is about winning in the National Football League. But the NFL told us after the Ray Rice case and after some of the other cases, we now have protocol. We have a way in which we're going to investigate all this. This is an organization that spent about $20 million investigating a little air taken out of a football, made a big, huge deal about it, and yet they're promising us they're going to take care of domestic violence.
The NFL interviewed 66 witnesses in the Deflategate thing. They came up with, 139-page report.
$5 million.
They hired
everybody. Players Association.
And they hired that company for a scientific, 82-page scientific report for turned out to be just ridiculous. Tell me there isn't an absolute, let's just call it a bias against what the Patriots have been doing and dominating the way the NFL doesn't want anybody to dominate. You go to those lengths over 2 or 3 years, and then you decide you don't even interview Kareem Hunt?
See, here's
second.
Go ahead.
This whole thing happened with Ray Rice, right? They know the cameras were there. They saw him, what he did to him. The same thing happened at a hotel. They said this would happen. They know there's cameras there because it happened.
Cameras everywhere.
Cameras everywhere. They know that. The league must have, you don't think the league or the Kansas City wanted to see those?
There's no doubt they knew there was video.
They knew there was video.
Whether they looked at it or not, I can't say.
Why wouldn't they, though?
They don't want to see it.
But
then
someone's going to see it, though.
They had to purposely deny it.
See, the difference in the Deflategate was that you had 31 other owners who were screaming at Roger Goodell saying, throw the book at the Patriots. Right? So he was pressured by 31 other owners. These are the rich billionaires who are putting the pressure on the commissioner to get something done.
Right.
In this case,
because they couldn't put together teams to derail the Patriots.
In this case, Kansas City knew that they had an issue. They didn't know how bad it was. They took the kid's word for it, which was dumb and stupid. But you can't expect
know this camera's everywhere.
But if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to turn your own player in. You're going to try to cover up for
him.
But who's going to
do that?
All right, so good.
What did Jerry Jones did? He was doing the same thing.
Okay, so good.
Trying to cover up for his player.
Good. Okay.
And they, by the way, didn't have videotape on his player.
Let's go exactly with that theory, and I agree with you 100%. Okay? So the NFL says that they're going to turn a blind eye to this after all the things they went through?
Because the owners weren't calling up complaints.
But here's the other part of it, okay? Kareem Hunt is going to pay the price.
Big time.
Understandably.
Worse than he should.
Are the Kansas City Chiefs going to pay the price? Other than not having one of the great running backs?
They should lose the first round draft pick. Now they lose a good running back.
Oh, really?
But they should lose the first pick.
That's the only price. They deliberately ignored what they knew.
It's a good point.
Kansas City Chiefs. How much did the Patriots get fined for
$1 million for the fake draft?
It's a great point.
Right.
So what we should do is we should make the organization
not even a question.
Pay the price.
Not even a question.
If they're not furnishing the league with the information they need,
they're holding it up. They should lose two first round picks. They should have to pay $2 million.
Whatever it is, something has to be done. You can't put numbers on it right now.
What they did with the Patriots is $1 million, and they lost a draft pick.
Okay, but again, this is twice as bad. No, it's 10 times as bad. It's ridiculous. It's infinitely worse. But they won't pay a price. That's the problem.
They won't pay a price. They lose him. He may never play again.
He might never play again. I think because he's 23, Fred, I think there's a time limit on this. So I would not be surprised at all if they end up suspending him, and they're going to suspend him for a long period of time. And I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't reported the second time there was a violence incident where this kid punched out somebody in June.
Yeah.
All right? So if that were the second offense after the first offense, the league is going to come down hard on the player. So maybe he's going to get well above 6 games. Maybe he gets 10 games. Maybe he gets a season. And they might retroactive it to the games that he's missing this year. But then you're going to get into late next season, beyond halfway of next season. What team is going to pick him up at that point?
No.
Then it's going to be another year the following season. There might be enough time that's gone by where some team might pick him up.
He'll do the routine. He'll go to therapy. He'll get help. He'll learn about it. He'll go on Oprah, do whatever. He'll do the whole mea culpa thing, and he'll try to rehab his image in order to get back into the league. And there is a prescribed sort of scenario for that. You admit to being wrong. You go get the help that you need, the counseling, and not just for a week or two, but for a long time. And he'll be able to rehab somewhat to a point where team is going to put him on.
It's going to be worse because of the way the league handled it, though, Steve.
True.
It's going to be much worse.
Agreed.
There's no tolerance for it anymore.
That's
not
right.
If the league had handled it
right up front and threw a six-game suspension,
right,
which they should have done, he would have missed the first six games. He would have been back for game seven.
Agreed.
That's what would have happened.
Agreed.
Instead,
but then they would have had to release the video then.
Once people see the video, it would have been much worse.
But let's face it, Ray Rice was at the end of his career. He certainly was on the back nine, okay? There was no question. This kid is 23. I think he gets another opportunity, and I think he deserves another opportunity after some time has passed here.
But to get real help for his issues.
Right, and the league made it worse for him. And I saw the interview with Lisa Salter.
It was terrible.
It was like
That's not me there. It is you.
So what happened is he had people who coached him up for the interview. Right. He kept on saying the same thing. That's not me. You can't say it's not me when we're all watching this videotape. It is you.
And you're kicking a woman on the ground.
No, what you do is you come out and you say, listen, I drank too much that night.
Yep.
I did a stupid thing.
Yep.
I shouldn't have done it. It's bad. It's not how I normally behave, but I behaved that night that way, and that was wrong.
I'm going to get help.
I'm going to get help.
Seeing that video, right. Stupid. Seeing
a
video, the way he looked, it's very hard to believe that he never did something like this before.
Listen, there may be other girlfriends
right. or whatever that
so
pop
now,
up and say something.
If they looked into it and spent the money they did going after Tom, I bet you they'd find a lot more stuff.
I am as concerned about this. About Kansas City paying the price, and not out of any vengeance or because they're good or whatever it is. This organization
covered it up
and deliberately because of how good a player he was. If this was a backup linebacker, do you think they're
would have been gone?
Gone.
Players too good.
And Kansas City will not pay a price.
They might this year. Well, let's see how they.
I'm not talking about their offense. I'm not talking about the price on the field. I'm talking about going after the organization for how they handled this.
And who helped cover it up? They should be gone too.
Well, the league is. I have a bigger problem with the league because
Absolutely.
The league set up protocol. They set up a system.
Absolutely.
And they never followed the system. Right. You know why? Because the ratings are great right now, and they don't want the bad publicity.
Absolutely.
They don't
right.
want to deal
now
with
now. They
any
got
stuff.
Worse publicity.
Right.
Okay,
the NFL is not. The NFL will pay a price of bad publicity,
right.
and they'll survive that.
Right. Remember earlier I told you, you were talking about how the Green Bay Packers operate and they have a board of directors or whatever? The board of directors met in this last commercial break. We want to send you out of here.
Beat it.
We don't want you. We're voting you out.
Oh, really?
You're out of the rest of the show. You're gone.
Or did I?
I don't want to say it.
Gone.
It was unanimous.
You like five times. What about you?
Yeah, he's in.
Morrell got a vote, and he voted against you.
I'm done with you guys.
Here's the deal.
I'm done.
Don't take the water with you.
Hey, those are my waters.
Let's take the water.
All right. And leave the cigars.
Get out of here.
Leave the cigars.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, the board is meeting Thursday night. We'll see if you can come back next Sunday.
We're going to review this.
All right. Two-man show the rest of the way.
Hold
Shut
on.
Up, Smirlish. You're gone.
Let me videotape him leaving.
Videotape him leaving.
Got
it. That was a good vote. Thank
you. Don't listen to us on the radio.
Goodbye.
Get
out of here. You suck. I would take and blow. We're taking a break. We'll be back.
This is the Real Postgame Show. The Pats defeat the Vikings. Discuss it now on the Real Postgame Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, time for the player of the game. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. This one is not easy. I'm not sure I want to pick anybody from the offensive side of the ball.
They were good, but they spread the ball well.
You could if you're going to do it to any rusher, you're going to take probably the group of them, and that's kind of the whistling away.
Defense? How about McCourty?
McCourty. Let's go with McCourty. You want to go with McCourty? Go with McCourty.
I like it a lot. I think
Devin, right? Yeah.
What?
What?
What are you talking about?
Not Devin?
No.
You know what? I'm with you on this one.
What?
I'm with you on this one. Jason McCourty was damn good today.
Jason McCourty was good. Well, you know what? Let's give it to both of them.
14 tackles combined.
Let's give it to the McCourtys.
They were good today.
They did.
And Jason McCourty spent some time
on that one touchdown pass. except on the one touchdown pass.
By the way, you will not believe this, but right now on a punt return after the Chargers have come to life, Chargers put a touchdown up on the board. They just spent this last Pittsburgh possession beating the crap out of Roethlisberger, and now they just ran back the punt.
And no penalties.
And no penalties on
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, they got away with one there.
Oh, they did, I think.
A little bit.
They did. Well, put his hands
That's
back
okay.
up.
That's okay.
And so suddenly it is a 23-21 game here. 23-21. You go for the two here, Steve? You got 12 minutes left in the game. What do you do?
I think you go for the two.
Rivers is out there on the field, so it looks like they're going for the two.
You still, a field goal still wins it for you if you miss it.
Many people are watching this while they're listening to us. Pittsburgh had totally outplayed the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Something has happened here in the last 8 minutes of the game, seven minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Chargers have just come to life.
They put
here.
Some pressure on Roethlisberger. They're doing some good things. It's this team has a little fight in them, just at least defensively. Let's see what the offense.
Boy, we were just ripping the crap out of them, saying they haven't played anybody, and now they have suddenly come to life, and they are a 2-point conversion away from tying up the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there's just under 13 minutes left in the game. All right, we'll give it to it has to be somebody on the defensive side. There were a lot of guys that played well in this.
Yep,
Van Noy had a couple of big plays. How about J.C. Jackson? He came up with
a
big play on that on the interception where he knocked that ball.
Yep.
He was the one that really defended it.
He made a great defensive play.
And it just landed.
There. And Harmon's got the,
That was just a weird bounce where the ball went into his hands. I want to bring up Melifonwu because we have not mentioned his name. Obi Melifonwu, who joined the team, 2-3 weeks ago? He had a couple of big plays in this game today.
Right.
So defensively, you can go top to bottom. They were really, really good in this game.
Yeah. I like it. We'll go with the McCourty twins. How's that sound?
Yeah.
They'll share it. Well, they'll share the trophy.
We'll everything anyway.
Deliver the trophy to them tomorrow.
They share Twitter accounts. They share everything. Oh, my God.
Tie game.
The Los Angeles Chargers have just tied up the Pittsburgh Steelers at 23 apiece and seem to have all the momentum going for them. But they were just all over. Joey Bosa may make a difference in this defense now that he's back. He
Agreed.
May make a difference. But we were just laughing about this Charger team because they looked pathetic, didn't they?
Yep, they did.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yep.
Was it like 8 minutes of game time? Nine minutes of game time?
You just wonder. I mean, you know, did the Steelers get considered? Look like they were getting conservative. Look like they're still trying to throw the ball.
Maybe.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Before we left, we were talking about the situation with Kareem Hunt, and there's no question it could affect the Kansas City Chiefs. So much of their offense really does go through Kareem Hunt. It's funny because Patrick Mahomes last week was asked the question, you know, what is the most important thing that exists in your offense? First guy he picked up was Kareem Hunt.
Mm.
He mentioned Kareem Hunt. He said, you know, really – he makes our offense go.
He does. Great runner and a good pass catcher too. I mean, you're talking about an all-around running back right there who made a huge impact last year. He's been doing real well this year too.
So,
just a side note here.
Yeah.
On that punt return by San Diego.
It's Los Angeles, but yeah, everybody calls it San Diego.
It's San Diego.
Same uniforms.
I don't care. They're the long snapper for the Steelers got helped off the field.
Long snapper.
So
leave it to you to pick out that the long snapper got hurt.
It's amazing that I know the long snapper just by looking at him. I looked
I was
at him.
Say.
Yeah, well, you know why I looked
so
at
do you
him?
Think this affects the Steelers for the rest of the year?
Let me tell you why I knew it, right?
Yeah.
Because he had a linebacker number on, right?
Yeah.
But he looked kind of dumpy and, like, not a Steelers. You know, Steelers linebackers are jacked, right?
I was going to say, your son is not lumpy at all.
He's not.
Lumpy.
He still thinks he's a linebacker. You line up for a field goal, you got some backup long snapper going. No team has a backup long snapper.
Right.
Could be
in trouble. This could screw up the whole season now for the Steelers. This could be it, huh?
Yeah.
I never knew a long snapper was that important to a team.
See, and you don't know the guy's name until he screws up.
No.
Right?
I
never knew my name when I was snapping.
All right, so we'll watch this for the rest of the game. This will be a factor because he's taking him out to the locker room.
Is he?
He's gone to the locker room.
Ooh.
He's gone to the locker room. 57, right?
Yes.
That was him. I just saw him go to the locker room.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
See how this plays out.
See?
But getting back to Kareem Hunt, the other thing you're going to find is the mood in the country right now with the media, they are not going to let the NFL really go lightly on this one.
And
they're
justifiably
gonna be all over
so. Yeah. They should be because of the cover-up. And tell me what you want about the NFL. I promise you they knew the depth of this. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't care what kind of denials they'll issue. I don't care what kind of they'll get their flurry reporters that are in their pocket that'll try to defend the fact that the NFL knew nothing about it. It'll happen. It's probably already happening. They knew about it. There's no way in this current climate with the things that have happened with domestic violence and the ridiculous actions of a certain number of men, there's no chance in hell the NFL did not know of this.
Well, they could plead ignorance, but the fact is they knew of the incident, right? And we now know directly from the guy himself, Kareem Hunt, that the NFL never talked to him. Not a single person from the NFL, not a single person from security. They never had a conversation with him. Okay. They also never had a conversation with the victim. So how do you know what went on if you never had a conversation with Kareem Hunt or from this woman or any of the participants, the people that were there?
In legal terms, this isn't the NFL's culpability, and this is not a legal term, but in a legal term, ignorance of law is no excuse.
Right.
Because they deliberately chose, even if, let's say I'm wrong, let's say the NFL doesn't know about it. If they didn't know about it, it's because they didn't want to know about it. That's why.
Here's the other one where his story does not hold up well at all, because he's saying, you know, she dropped the N-word at him and whatever, and that might have happened. Who knows? But when you look at the interviews that you saw from the body cam, from the cops that were there when they were interviewing him and his friends, all we wanted to do is get the girls out of the room. They were out of the room.
Right.
We now have videotape of an incident that happened out in front of the elevator.
Absolutely.
So if you wanted them out of the room, you got them out of the
room. Lock the room.
That's it. You locked the door. By the way, he was a resident of that hotel. He had a residence there.
Right.
So all you do is you call down to the front desk to security, do me a favor, we just locked these girls out of the room. Can you please have them taken out of the building?
Absolutely.
Then you're not involved in it. So his whole argument that, you know, she might have used the N-word, she might have done this or whatever, you got them out of the room.
Right.
We have videotape now after they left the room.
Right. Okay, now let's go. Let's take that in one direction. Let's say she did do that. Is that an excuse for beating her up?
No,
of course not.
There's never an excuse.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You've got to be smarter than that. I have no doubt alcohol was involved. I'm sure that was all part of the equation.
And he should have mentioned that. He should have said all of that. He should have just thrown it out on the table and said, this is what happened. I had a bad night.
Right.
My residence, I picked up this woman with my friend, a couple of women. We picked them up 3 hours earlier. You know, we took them back to the room, and then it got bad, and then we tried to get him out, and he did it the wrong way.
He's had a bad start to his rehabilitation process.
Very bad.
A bad start.
All right, we got to take one more break. We'll do it. It's nice without Fred, isn't it?
You know what?
Comfortable.
Right.
I like it here.
We can actually have reasonable conversations.
Might do this more often.
You know? Let's just put him on, let's get rid of him every half hour early every show.
I don't know how you feel, but I could do it three or four more segments.
I feel pretty good right now. You know, it's nice to have intelligent conversation.
I like it.
Right?
It's good.
Uh-oh, my phone's ringing. Uh-oh. Fred's tweeting, texting, and emailing us.
Take a break. Just take a break.
Let's get you back to the Real Postgame Show. The Pats get a huge win over the Vikings. Talk about it now on the Real Postgame Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're going to end our postgame show. We want to go watch the rest of this game. The Chargers have come roaring back, and right now have taken control of this game. It's hard to believe, but it's happening. Thanks to Jason Rossi and Chris Scheim and John Anderson, of course, Matt Morrell, taking care of us here. And Fred was... He's pretty good today.
It was
a lot better in the last half hour.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it was a lot better.
I loved his insight.
It was great. It's great. We'll do it again next week after the game in Miami. I'll be with the OMF crew tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We'll do it from Gillette Stadium. Bill Belichick will join us at 3. Of course, you can catch Brady in the morning. Players at midday with Dale and Keith. Have a good night, everybody. Patriots win at 24-10.